talk about his glory appearing. It's not talking about the rapture. It's talking about after the rapture and after the 7-year tribulation that Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth in his glorified body to reign and to rule as it should be on this earth 1,000 years, the reign of our Christ. What a blessed hope, a glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. That's going to be a great day for some people. Going to be a great day for some people. Alexander the Graham Bell, he invented the first telephone. It had an old cigar box and two magnets and 200 feet of wire. And the first message was to Mr. Watson. It says, "Come here, I want you." That is Jesus Christ's message to you today, saved or lost. Come here, I want you. Not what you can give me, but what I can give you. I can give you life, Jesus says, that you will never die. In his holy word it says, "Who believeth this shall never die." Do you believe, if you save, that you will never die? Not talking about the physical death, but the spiritual death, that you will never die. You're more alive than you'll ever will be when you come accept Jesus Christ as your Savior in that life. He said, "I can give you hope and never be disappointed." That glorious hope waiting for that Savior to appear in heaven. That is the rapture of the church, that we might see Jesus and be changed from these old bodies into a new body. But also it says, "I can give you light that darkness can never comprehend." This light he's talking about is the light of the world. Whenever Jesus Christ came in this world, he came in this world and he brought light to this blessed world. But also he says, "I can give you joy that cannot be diminished." Joy unspeakable is what he's talking about. This world will never know and understand the joy that you this hour as a Christian can understand. No lost person can understand the joy. You cannot tell anybody about this great joy. They must receive it for their self. But also he says, "I'll give you a home. It can never be destroyed. In my Father's house are many mansions." He says, "I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. When I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, you shall be there also. In my Father's house," he said, "they are many mansions." But also he says, "If you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. Rest that never be disturbed. All you are heavy laden," he says, "you come to me," he says, "and I will give you rest." Make today worthy to remember. Each and every one of us. It's up to you by choice. If you're lost, you can come to Jesus Christ and you make this day worth remembering. If you're saved, you can tell Jesus Christ, "Lord, I want to give you everything of my life. I want to surrender 100% to you." And this could be a day worthy of remembering. Just remember the little story of Alice in Wonderland. When she came to a fork in the road, remember she asked that cat, "Which way to go?" And the old cat says, "Well, which way, where are you going?" She says, "I don't know." He says, "Well, it really don't matter." Well, I'm going to tell you today, it matters which way you go. And you need to remember that, because one of these days, believe it or not, that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back in two folds. He's coming back for his church at the rapture, where he will not touch to this earth. He's coming back and we will meet him in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And all the generation that's alive at that time will be caught up together in the twinkling of an eye, and the Lord shall change us, and you will never go through the door of death if you're living in that generation. And God says in the Word of God, if you believe what God says, they will be a generation. It will not go through the grave, and we may be living it, and I might be living it, and I might get to see this, because I believe that he's coming back in my generation. I believe he's coming back maybe today. I believe I'll see Jesus. I might not go through the door of death, but whether I go through the door of death or I go up in the air with a changed body, I know that Jesus Christ is coming back. A glorious day. But then 7 years of tribulation on this earth. The hell of this world has never experienced a hell that will be turned loose in those 7 years. I mean, they're going to be hell upon hell on this earth. And then after that 7 years, we'll find that Jesus Christ, you and I will be in heaven. We'll have the Lord's Supper. I'm going to tell you, the Lamb's Supper of the Lord, we'll be there at the judgment seat of Christ, and he might have to clean me up a little bit more than do you, but when we come back with Jesus, and we'll come back on this earth to reign and to rule 1,000 years with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's going to be a great appearing, a great, great appearing. And I thank the Lord that he says, I'm coming back. When shall these things be? When is he coming? Every generation believed that Jesus Christ was coming back in that generation. From the time that Jesus Christ ascended up from that hill, his disciples believed that Jesus Christ was coming back any time. And every Christian of every generation has a right to believe that, because Jesus Christ says, I'm coming back one of these days, quickly. There's nothing that had to be fulfilled that have not already been fulfilled. There's no sign had to be given that hadn't already been given, that everything is in line for Jesus Christ to come back immediately, and he could come back before that we leave this building this day. But I'm going to tell you this day, when Jesus Christ comes back at that time after the tribulation time, it's going to be a time on this earth, and I'm going to tell you, we'll be with him. But if you hear this hour, and I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is going to first come back for you and I that's saved, but woe to that person that's never been saved. If you hear the day and have not been saved, you need to be saved, because you do not know what hour that the rapture might occur. We do not know what hour that Jesus Christ may come back and touch down on this earth. As we look at this in verse 3 of chapter 24, this great, great time. Now, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples. His disciples had came to him and asked him for a sign. Why? Because chapter 24 and on, Jesus Christ, from his lips, as you find in your Bible, has been talking now about what the sign's going to be, what things have happened, how this world is coming together, because it's going to come together one day that the end of this world as we know it is going to come to an end. Everything is lined up. No signs that I tell you that have to be fulfilled that have not already been fulfilled. Well, we see the Bible says, well, the Bible being fulfilled all the time. And there's signs being fulfilled all the time. And that is true. There'll be more sign fulfilling. You see the nation of Israel. You see signs of the nation of Israel. We'll see that things is lining up to have a one world currency. We'll see things that's lining up in this world. There'll be a one world order in most everything. But that's not telling us that, you know, that Jesus Christ has not fixed to come back that way, but he might be coming back right now, because you see all the signs that you see this about one world currency and everything that's coming to happen, that's the signs it's talking about in the tribulation time. It's over and above looking at that. All the things that line up and tell us are getting closer and closer. It might come at any minute. So you need to be ready. Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, he have had his ministry now, and all the multitude of people have left Jesus Christ. He's down now to this last week here in this chapter 24, and all this takes place around Jerusalem now and around the temple. Now he's telling the disciples, after all the rest of the people has left him now, and he's down to just his few disciples, he carries them away, and from the lips of Jesus Christ, he's telling them about fulfillment of the prophet. The prophet of Daniel had to tell the end of time, the end of the Gentile generation. You see, the generation of Gentiles, one of these days that, you know, the church age, the Gentile generation, the church age is going to stop. That will stop at what we call the rapture of the church. You know, Jesus Christ, and when he comes back for you and I, that's the rapture of the church. That is the end of God working with the Gentile people through this world. Then he'll start working in this world through his Jewish people again, the apple of his eye. He started off that way, and he's going to end that way with the Jews. Daniel prophesied this, that the generation to come, the generation of the Gentiles. This second appearing, all the other prophets now, they prophesied about the first coming of Jesus Christ, and they can also see the second coming of Jesus Christ. But all the Old Testament prophets, no matter how smart they was, God did not reveal that to them about the church age. When they saw the first coming and the second coming, and I know that you've been to mountains, I explained this to you before, and you've been to the mountain there and you see two great mountain peaks, and you see them lined up, it looked like you maybe can step from one mountain peak to another mountain peak. Well, all the Old Testament prophets, they saw these two mountain peaks, the first and second coming, but sometimes it's even in the same verse of scripture in the Old Testament. But they could not understand understand this great valley that you and I are living. Wait till you get to that first mountain peak when you're driving your car on vacation, you get up those mountains, and you see how long it takes you to step right over a little, like maybe just a few miles, and you may have to drive a half a day till you get to that next mountain peak. It's a lot further than what you think it is. So the Old Testament prophet, they prophesied about the first and second coming, but they did not understand the great day that you and I are living in. The Gentile period of time, what we call the church age right now that Jesus Christ is working through, this great valley here today, the church age. But Paul says that I might show you a mystery. Now, this mystery that God has unfolded in the church age time through Paul, that experienced what you and I know today, is a day of grace. All days have always been the day of grace, but this is recognized a day of grace that you and I are living in today. That the day of grace that God has given you just one more opportunity. You here today that you know that you're living in the very hour, you're living in the very moment, you're living in the very seconds of grace, because you know what, how far eternity is. A lot of people think eternity is way out there in the future. Let me tell you, sir, ma'am, if you're lost, I'm going to tell you, eternity is just a heartbeat away. It is just a breath away. Eternity. God says, I want everybody to understand they have a choice and a chance to be saved this day. Paul says, I'll show you a mystery. This great mystery. Now, Jesus Christ, his disciples had gathered around him. He'd been discussing about all these signs that are going to be fulfilled whenever he comes back. That is after the rapture church, after 7-year tribulation. But they couldn't understand this. All these signs, the end of this world, the appearing of the Lord. And I say, it's not talking about the rapture. It's talking here about that 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, they ask him some questions now. When will this thing be? What's going to be the sign that we might look for? What is the end of this ages that we might be able to be ready for this coming again of you, Lord? What is all these signs? Then Jesus Christ tell them. Jesus Christ said, I said, he come in Jerusalem. And you know, when they said, Hosea, Hosea, and they just praised Jesus Christ, and they praised Jesus Christ. Pharisees tried to stop that praise. He said, if you stop these people from praising me, he said, the rocks and the mountains will cry out to praise me if you try to stop them. Now he's there, and they have rejected him. They're down for just a few. Now Jesus Christ's ministry that we know has been around just the temple now for the rest of these weeks and few days that Jesus Christ has lived from chapter 24 and on of Matthew. And we know his ministry. He moves into the temple area, and there around that temple area, he began to tell them and show them signs of what may come after a few days. And these signs that he's talking about, what he done, is a sign to show them what may take place. And they're looking now, when's this going to be? What do we need to look for? When is this going to be? He just says, be ready. Jesus Christ moved into the temple, and you know Jesus Christ, you know what he done? He cleansed out the temple. You know, he took a rope and made whips and run those money changers out of that temple, setting up, you know, the purity of that temple again. These are all signs he's talking about, setting up purity again. You know, here this day, you know, we have religious racketeers. You see them on television. They'll tell you all kind of things, and they'll beg for money. I'm going to tell you, they have all type of racketeering going on in what we call the area of Christianity, and they'll blind themselves, you know, to the things of this world and tell you how great they are that you might send them money. Well, Jesus Christ run that bunch out of business. And I'm going to tell you, they'll be run out of business today. I'm going to tell you, we need to understand what the Word of God teaches. Disciples now, they looked at Jesus Christ and his great ministry and this power, you know, that he have seen. And they saw a glimpse of the kingdom of glory. They saw a glimpse by being with Jesus Christ of the kingdom that Jesus Christ was going to set up here on earth. And they got so excited, and we will be excited too of what Jesus Christ is going to do. No matter how dark and bleak this world may be, no matter what we look at this country that we're living in and all the politics and what may happen, wars and rumors of wars, everything might happen, but Jesus Christ is coming back with a glorious appearing regarding what mankind can do. Jesus Christ is coming back one of these days, and he's coming back to rule and to reign and to set up what ought to be on this earth this day, and that is the majesty of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Well, you know, the disciples, they got caught up in this, of all the glory of the ministry and the power, and they got a glimpse of the kingdom while Jesus Christ was walking on this earth, and they got so excited. When? They said, when? 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 If we ought to get excited this day. When? When is this going to be, Lord? Because I'm so tired of this old world. Sometimes you get tired of what this world brings you, of sorrow and heartache and disappointment and loss of hope in this old world and loss of hope of what mankind. And we get so disappointed and have problems and tribulation and sorrow. Sometimes we want to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want to go see you, Jesus. One of these days it's going to happen. One of these days Jesus has come to this earth, and all the things that bothers us will never bother the child of God any longer. All the problems we have in the world will not bother us anymore, because Jesus Christ is the righteous King. He's a righteous judge to come. When shall these things be? When? And he began to answer them, and here's the way he answered them. The period for his coming. And he said, this period for his coming. In verse 36 of this same chapter, it says, but of that day and hour no man knew, not even the angel of heaven, but my Father. Well, when's he going to be? No man knows, he said, the period of this time when his appearing comes. But there's two things I'd like for you to see, he says. One thing, unknown to the natural world. No one's going to know that. The natural world is not going to know this. That means mankind, no matter how smart they are, just like all the Old Testament prophets, no matter how intelligent they are, no matter how much they study the old scroll, they did not understand the church age that you and I live in. It had to be revealed to them. Well, God says, I'm not going to reveal this to mankind. No mankind knows this, no matter the day nor the hour. History of mankind, you know, they want to set dates. A lot of time I've read some books where people have set dates whenever Jesus Christ is coming back, his second coming. But God says anybody that set dates, they are a false prophet. Anytime that you hear anybody that's setting a date, I'm going to tell you, they are a false prophet. I just got to thinking, you know, what if one of these old crazy kooks, you know, said he's going to come back in such and such a time, and you know what? And the Lord was going to come back in such and such a time. You know, if I believe the Lord, I believe I'd change it just to mess him up, don't you? If he just tried to guess, I believe I'd change it just to mess him up. It says no man knows. That's the natural man that cannot know. More like a cult whenever they predict what time that he's going to come back. They're out of the main string to set dates. Matthew 25 and 13 says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I'm going to tell you this morning what the message is. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. Because you see, Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, I'm talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I said in two areas he's coming back. In one, you know he's going to come back in the sky, the rapture, and then he's going to come back to this earth. But I'm going to tell you, you need to be ready. Right now, he might come back. He might come back, you know, and just rapture us all away. We just really don't know. It says in Colossians 1 and 27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to tell you this morning, you got a hope of glory. He says, you know, if you come to me, I'll give you a hope. What is that hope? I got a hope of glory. It lives in me. Why? Because I got the divine Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God living in me. That is the hope that I have today. But he says, you know, I'm coming back. Whenever I come back, he says, I'm going to set things straight. At the end of time, even the angels, you know what he says about the angels? They're coming one of these days, and they're going to set things straight. You know, the great mighty angels that's coming, are they going to help God in this area? They're going to help him set things straight on this old world that you and I are living in this day. As I said there in Matthew 13, the man does not know what time they might come. Why don't he tell us? Why don't he tell us? Well, there's some reason probably God don't tell us. You ever thought why God don't tell us when he comes? Why don't he tell us? We really need to know when he's coming back. Well, why don't he tell us? Well, if he were to tell us a certain time is coming, we begin to live our life in a certain way. Sometimes that might be good, and sometimes, you know, that might be bad. Now, if we knew that Jesus Christ weren't going to come back for another 100 years now, you see, most of the time we live kind of a careless life. Well, we got plenty of time. He's not going to come back in my lifetime. I'm not going to live another 100 years. And if he knows he's going to come back 100 years, it may have us a tendency for us to live a certain way. So God says, I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to come back 100 years. Well, now, what if I tell you now, or he told us now, listen, it's going to be next Sunday, he's coming back. I tell you one thing, we're talking about high attendance. Woo-hoo! There would not be enough room in our church for high attendance, because people would get right, including me. I mean, if we really knew that, we would get right. Now, that would be the good part of it. If we really knew, we would get right. Man, touch attendance. I tell you what, I believe we have the greatest tithe offering that we've ever had or ever would have if we knew next Sunday was going to be it. Not only that, I believe, Lord, I tell you, this church be just running over. But now if he says 100 years from now or 150 years from now, you know, we would probably get lazy in our soul winning. Well, we got plenty of time. Let the next generation worry about it. We don't worry about visitation. We won't worry about going. We would probably get lazy in our visitation, in our encouraging people. He says the natural man is not going to know this for several reasons. But he also says it's going to be unknown to the supernatural world. Well, who is a supernatural world? Well, it's talking here about the angels. Jesus says, no, not the angels in heaven. Angels, you know, are very important. Now, I don't know how many angels God made. The Bible did not tell us how many angels that God created. But we know one third of them went with old Satan. They call demons nowadays. Or now, they're demons called their fallen angels. Now, I don't know how many that Jesus Christ or God made, but I tell you one thing, he made enough to get the job done. And I tell you, I believe he's got angels that's ministering to every one of us. I believe he's got angels that looks after kids, I can tell you that. I tell you, I really do believe he's got ministering spirits that looks after everyone according to the word of God. The scripture tells how important it is. You know, when Isaiah says, the holy angels say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The angels are very, very important. I believe in angels, and I don't know about you, but I believe in angels. Now, the angels are in time. You know what they're going to do? They're going to separate the good from the evil. God is going to use angels to reap the harvest of the world at this time whenever Jesus Christ is coming back of this appearing that I'm talking about. He's going to use angels. Several verses of scripture, Matthew 13, 49 and 50 says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Angels going to gather the elect also, that is the good. They're going to separate them. Let the wheat grow with the chaff. In the time of the harvest, you can't tell one from another, but the angels can. When they reap into this old world, I'm going to tell you, God will do the separation. They will know the difference. 2 Thessalonians 1 1 and chapter 1, it says, Jesus is coming in a flame of fire, and it says, with him the holy angels. But they don't know the time either. It says the unknown world, the angels, they don't know the time, even the angels. They don't know when he's going to come back, the hour he's coming back. But also, you know what? The Son of Man is unknown to Jesus, according to the Word of God. Now, Jesus Christ, when he's on earth talking about this, of course, we know that Jesus Christ is one of the Godhead, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ was fully God, but he chose not to take advantage of his deity while he is here on this earth. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 and on, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and made in the likeness of man and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and give him a name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus Christ, the great Jesus Christ, but even Jesus Christ, while he is here on earth, said, you know, I don't even know the time. Even the Son, it says, I don't even know the time. Jesus Christ, we see he limited his power of the Godheads. But we find not only that, but we find that Jesus Christ, while he has walked on this earth, he had a glorified body, and after that would be a different thing. But it says also the second thing, the patience for his appearing. There's a period for his appearing, as you see, there's patience for his appearing. And we're living in those patient days of his appearing right now. We are to wait, we are to watch, and we are to work. Having patience, this disciples and disciple ourselves and then discipline ourselves, waiting for Jesus Christ to appear. And then why is he waiting? Why is God waiting? Well, there's six things, and I can name a bunch of others, but probably that's as far as I get if I get that far. But there's six things. And the sin to run its course. The sin to run its course. As you think about this, in Revelation 14, 15, and 16, it says, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in that sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripened. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. the reaping of the angels one of these days. That is mankind and its coming. And it must be fulfilled of all sin. Of all sin. God will wait for the full judgment of all those that disobeyed him and all the sin of the world to run its course. Waiting for the cup of iniquity to be full. Of that final judgment for sinners. That 1,000 years. That 1,000 years of reign of Jesus Christ. When people die in their sins, they go to a place that's called hell. But you see, at the end, there's going to be another resurrection. When Jesus Christ comes back for his church at the rapture, there's going to be a resurrection of the living. That is the resurrection of those that know Jesus Christ as the saved. And we're going to have a new body. But you see, there's another resurrection. The resurrection of all those people that did not believe in Jesus Christ. There's going to be a second resurrection. After the reign of Jesus Christ at end, they're going to come forth too. You see, they in hell, but they're not in the lake of fire yet. And a verse of scripture I read you in a few minutes say, you know what? Hell's going to give up the dead. And they're going to be judged. The judgment is called the great white throne judgment. You will not be there as judged. These people that's lost to be there. And we could just stop and not get any further because waiting and watching the sin to run its course is a lot serious than any of us ever dreamed of. The sin that's got to run its course this day. And it's running its course today. The final judgment is not over. God's not going to judge them on the measure of their deeds and calculate them until after the end of time. When a lost person dies, his work continues on living in others. Listen to me now. You think maybe when he dies it's all over with. But no, it's not all over with. When a person sins, a person rejects Jesus Christ, and all the deeds that he does in this old body and rejects Jesus Christ, well, maybe you would think maybe that after he's dead it'd be over with. No, that's the reason God's going to wait till those 1,000 years, till all that sin runs its course. You know, as you think about it, dad's going to pass on to his children. And the sin probably going to pass on. Maybe that old father was just an old drug addict. Maybe that father was someone that didn't mind smoking some of that drug weed. And maybe that father didn't mind sipping on one of those beer there by his recliner with his son in his lap. And you see, his dad dies. But that sin carries on. I'll do what my dad done. I walk in my father's shoes. As I was reading about Christian and they're trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, and they knocked on the man's door, you know, and the man opened his door, and they said, "We'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ." So they come in and started talking to him about Jesus Christ, and he said, "No, thank you, I don't care about Jesus Christ." So he shut the door as they went out, went back, sat in his recliner by his beer, and he thinks nothing wrong with drinking, and a little boy crawled up in his lap. He says, "Daddy, we don't want to be like one of those old Christians, do we? I'm going to tell you, the sin of the fathers has passed on to his generation, even after he's dead. Not only that, they carry on even to the grandkids and right on and right on." A man watched a little young boy and he said, "Man, I'm going to tell you, a fine young boy. You're going to grow up to be just like your father." He said, "Thank you, sir. That's what my mother's afraid of." And I can tell you by assurance of the word of God, there's some fathers that's leading their children down the path of sin and the path of destruction even after they die. You sit there and let your old beard grow out, sir, if you want to on Sunday morning. You stick your tongue on the side of your mouth like an old mule. And you says, "I will not come and I will not serve and I don't care about the church and I don't care about Jesus Christ." And you will pass that on to the next generation. You have a chance to be saved. You will not heed. You will not do what God says. You're going to pass that on even to the generation after that and the next generation after that. God said that's the reason God has not judged him, because sin has got to run its course. Through all of the mankind, this sin is going to travel right on through. It's going to keep on following you, and it's going to keep on following them. It's going to keep on following them. Yeah, you see, I've seen that happen in families where there'll be several boys. And that old father will take up that bottle. You know, after a while, you might see that oldest boy. And I've seen it happen. I could tell you some family members that you probably knew. And that oldest son, he'll take up that same drinking problem. And the next will come along, he'll take up that same drinking problem. And the next will come along and take up that same drinking problem. And the next will come along and right on down, 4 and 5, right on down. And after the father is dead, the kids and the grandkids, and that sin keep on continuing in their life. And there's only thing that break that cycle of sin, and that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it is serious. God has not judged because he's waiting the fulfillment of all that sin. Sir, let me tell you here today, let me tell you that God's not going to judge. He's waiting till that sin has run its course. So many people think because there's a member, even a Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, that will not guarantee you, give you a place in heaven because you're a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. But I'm going to tell you what, you better come to Jesus Christ. It's not a place, it's a person. That sin's going to continue on. It's going to produce a harvest of sin. It's not just ripened yet. That's the reason Jesus Christ has not come back, because sin have not ripened yet. He's not have everything been fulfilled in that place yet. Hell and grave's going to give up its soul that's in it. They're going to be a producer of harvest before long. Yeah. When the resurrection body is in at the great white throne judgment, that is when the dead, those are lost, are waiting for the judgment of God, then God's going to judge that loss. The iniquity of is going to be full. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 14 and 13. Behold, are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, their works do follow them. That is the saved. I'm going to tell you, your works the same way. Just as the works follows a lost person, your works follows through your family also. You can write it down. You know it for sure. You let a mother and a father decide that, hey, I don't need Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God has convicted me. I need Jesus Christ. We're going to the church. When you make up your mind that church, Jesus Christ is number one in your life, and you cannot separate Jesus Christ in your life from the local church, no matter what you believe, what you think, or how you behave, you cannot separate Jesus Christ from his local church. And the way that you treat your local church is the way you treat Jesus Christ. And you make up your mind that I'm going to set the pattern of worship for my family. Sir, I'm coming to the house of God. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I can assure you one thing, your good works are a follower. You may not see it in your lifetime, but I have seen this many times. Even the grandmother and the grandfather has passed on. And you know, the father and the mother has passed on. Even after them, whenever they showed their children, they went astray and they showed their children the obedience way to serve Jesus Christ and how important it was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In the prayers of the grandmother and the grandfather, the father and the mother has went up for those kids that went astray in their life and they're not serving Jesus Christ. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And you know what? Death caught them and they never did see the fruit of their prayers. And you roll them down this aisle so many times they look into that old casket of that dead mother and father or that grandmother and that grandfather, and tears might fall in their eyes. And then you might see those prayers of that prayer warrior when that child decides, hey, I've read my life the wrong way. I'm going to tell you, thank you for my mother and my father and my grandparents that prayed for me. Jesus Christ, will you forgive me? And then you might see that person. Then they become obedient to what Jesus Christ has called them to be, to honor him and to worship him. And you'll see their obedience to the house of God change because of that work and that prayers of that mother, father, or even that grandparent. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, this day. If you here today as a mother and a father or a grandparent, you better show your children. You need to show your kids the right way. And I'm going to tell you what, you know the right way. I don't have to tell you. God has already told you. There will not be a day in your life that you miss showing your kids the way, because I'm going to tell you, your works will follow you. The works of a person that's lost is going to follow them also. The lost in Revelation chapter 20 and 13 says, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. That is out of the Bible. That is out of the Bible. Right there. You're going to be judged, lost person, for every work. And it's not fulfilled yet. Even though your life is gone, after you pass away, I'm going to tell you, the works is going to go on. How you set your life in order. How that you turn your family either this way or either you turn your family this way. For or against Jesus Christ, your works are going to be tried one of these days. You're going to be judged. The works do follow them. Well, that's just my first one. I didn't think I was going to make it. Anyway, the ingathering of his people. He's waiting now for the ingathering of his people. That great time. The church must be complete. The marriage supper of the Lamb. So the bride must be complete. Jesus Christ, you know, says, I will wait for the fulfillment of the Gentiles to come. But not until then. Until that last person is saved. One day on this earth, the last person is going to be saved. That is the body of Christ. The bride will be complete. Jesus Christ will not come back until that has happened. Did you know that might happen today? It could happen in this church called Pleasant Hill. When the last person, a person here this day, you're lost, you do not know Jesus Christ, mother, father, child, whatever it might be, and you come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means the last person to fulfill the fulfillment of the body of Christ. He said, and at that time, he says, the gathering now of God's people. Are you going to wait or are you going to miss that? You know, God's giving you a choice, whatever it might be that God has given you a choice. But he's waiting now to a certain appointed time. Jesus, you know, God appointed a time whenever Jesus Christ would be born in this world. God set a time whenever Jesus Christ is going to be crucified. All this is set appointed at a time. I'm going to tell you the first coming and also of the second coming. 2 Peter 3:8 and on, it also says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own flesh and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For they were willingly are ignorant of that. By the word of God, the heavens were old, and the earth stand out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water and perished. Talking about the flood. They said, listen, O Noah, you've been preaching this for over 100 years, and it hadn't rained yet. People said here, if you really believe what the Bible said, if people really believe what the Bible said, they would change their life. The gathering of appointed time. If you really believe it. Now listen, we've been living here all our life. Now everything keeps on going. Do we really think it's going to be today? Or are we going to think it's going to be in the next generation or way on down the line? If we really believe it. Well, they didn't really believe it either because, Noah, you've been preaching this and teaching this now for all these years. And you know what? It hadn't come yet. It hadn't come yet as you think about this. But you see what changed it? Was one drop of water. Just one drop of water. Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. I'm going to tell you, preaching this morning is a witness to you. If you don't give your life to Jesus Christ, this is a witness to you and a witness against you. You need to come just like you are. Jesus says, wait. Is of the devil. Come is for me. God's waiting for that child, that husband, that wife, that grandchild, waiting for that person to be saved. That's one another reason why the ingathering of his people. You see, if you had heard the gospel, you have had a chance to be saved, and the rapture church take place, you will never ever get another chance to be saved. You say, well, I don't believe that. We'll read the Bible in Thessalonians. Those that had a chance to believe the truth and reject the truth, God said, God will send them strong delusion. They will not believe that Jesus Christ, who he said he is, but they will believe the Antichrist. I'm going to tell you, sitting here this morning, if you've had a chance to be saved and you have rejected that and turned that down, and the rapture of the church appears, Jesus Christ appears in the air, you will never, ever be saved. You have sealed your destiny and doomed yourself to a place called hell. Now, there will be many, many people in the tribulation time to be saved, but you have already had your chance. You've already had your chance. Whether you believe this or not believe it, the Word of God says it. You've already had your chance. Waiting for that person. I'm waiting for that father. I'm waiting for that wife. I'm waiting for that child. I'm waiting for that person to come and be saved. You know, it's so simple. Sometimes us grown people, they run past it. The appointed of repentance, God waiting for those to be saved. All can be saved. 2 Peter 3:3-6 is that knowing this first, that there shall come, first of all, scoffers. They're coming. But then he says, you know, in verse 3 and 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years and 1,000 years at one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all shall come to repentance. That's you. You, sir, ma'am. God's waiting on you. And the reason he hadn't come, because he's waiting on you. But he's going to come one of these days. And God's waiting, you know, to answer those as in doubt. He's coming, you know, to rebuke those that scoff against him. People laugh at the holy things of God. Y'all know that? People laugh at things. Look at television, how they laugh and make fun of Jesus Christ and make fun of the church and make fun of the Word of God. You know what? They just doubt it. But I'm going to tell you what. Man is willing to be ignorant of the Word of God. But you have a choice today. If we really do believe what I'm preaching, if you really do believe that, I'm going to tell you, if people really understood and they really believe this, I do believe the church would be jammed full every service. If we really believe this. Now you're here this day, and you've not really accepted Jesus Christ. And you hadn't really come today to attend to accept Jesus Christ. You come maybe to make me feel good about yourself. And we come now with a song of invitation. Here's what you need to do. If you come here this day and you need to be saved. Now, you don't know for sure if you're saved or not. If you don't know if you're saved or not, you need to get right with God and find out if you're saved or not. And I'll tell you how you do that. But if you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to come. Mother and Father, you need to stop that vicious circle of sin in the lives of your kids, because you need to bring the father and the mother to start with to know the knowledge of saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And stop that downward spin of sin. You need to come. How easy is it to come to Jesus Christ? Well, I'm just as good as anybody in this church. The devil says, you know what, you just as good? Yeah, we all just as good enough to go to hell. What God says, none good, no, not one. You say, well, you need to be saved today. Well, there's some things in my life that I need to change and I need to get right. Well, you keep on trying, because you'll never change them and you'll never get right, because you see, only God can change you and through Jesus Christ. Because as all of us are saved here today, probably have fought that same battle. Boy, if I could just get right. Boy, if I could just change my life. Boy, I want to live right. There's something that tells us in life we're not living right, but I want to live right. I want to be in good with Jesus Christ, but you see, I got these things in my life. Well, we all got things in our life, and I tell you, Jesus Christ has come just like you are. You keep trying to straighten your life out, and it's going to be a more mess than you've ever seen. That's when he says, come just like you are. Let me do it. Sir, your wife, would you go out of this church this day knowing what I just preached? Would you go out of this church knowing not for sure where you're going to be lost or saved? You're just going to be wandering around like Alice in Wonderland. Which way should I go? Well, if you don't know where you're going, it don't make much difference. You need to know make the difference in your life. Now, we're going to give you an opportunity, if you really believe what the Word of God says, to make a difference. And make this day worth remembering what God has done for you this day. As we stand and sing this hymn today, while others around you are praying for you.